Amen. Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, here we find Luke's account of the birth of Jesus Christ. It's a very familiar passage to many of us. Might even be a familiar passage if you don't know the Bible, but you've seen the Peanuts Christmas show. I'm going to focus the message on verses 8 through 35. And I've titled the message, Good News of Great Joy for All People. Good News of Great Joy for All People, which comes right out of the text. And so let me begin chapter 2, Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, look, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, for this Advent season, for the Lord, the opportunity to hear this message, the message that you had for all people. We thank you for sending your Son who took to himself flesh and was born. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit and for his role in guiding and in giving prophecy to your people. A message for us to hear even this day. And so, God, I do pray that by your power, we would have ears to hear. We would have eyes to see, hearts to receive this message. We give you all glory and praise. In your name we pray. Amen. So we've heard this story, very familiar with it. Maybe some of the details might have escaped us, but here we've had a refresher. We've heard the word as it was recorded by Luke. And in verse 8, we meet our friends, the shepherds. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. It's nighttime. Maybe they were finishing up work. You know, they huddled the sheep and put them into a pen or enclosure or something. And maybe even one of them might have noticed a new star in the night. It's like, hadn't seen that before. That seems pretty bright, pretty shiny. And maybe these guys were finishing up dinner and maybe they were having themselves a little coffee or a little hot cocoa by the fire. And then all of a sudden, verse 9, an angel of the Lord appears to them and the glory of the Lord shone around them and they were filled with great fear. And we might imagine their fear in seeing the supernatural angel. Now, for these guys to be afraid is pretty significant. These were shepherds who likely would have fought off predators of all kinds. David was a shepherd, and he said that he had to contend with bears and with lions. But this is different. This is way different. This angels appearing is not a normal thing. And usually when angels appeared, it would freak out the people. But I suspect even more frightening was the glory of the Lord, which shone around them. And, you know, maybe my mind goes back to cartoons and maybe their eyes bugged out like in the cartoons, because this is supernatural. The angel attempted to settle them down. Verse 10, the angel said, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. The angel had been sent to deliver a message to the shepherds. God's plan was in action. Angels had already talked to Mary, already talked to Joseph. She was pregnant. Time for the baby to be born. But now this angel is sent to give a message to the shepherds, a good news of great joy. Now we're going to get to the message in a minute, but before we do this, who is this message for? Is this message just for the shepherds and their sheep? No, it's a message that will be for all the people. All the people. This good news of great joy, this gospel message is for everyone. All right, now we get to the message, verses 11 and 12. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And I know there's several moms here, and you typically are not going to put your baby into a feeding trough. Especially a brand new baby born, newborn, right? So here's a sign. The message that God has revealed to these shepherds is today in the city of David or Bethlehem, a baby is born who is Christ the Lord, the Savior. Sometimes we use the name of Jesus Christ, and people might think that Christ is his last name. But it's his title. He is the Christ. He is the anointed one. Jesus is the very Son of God who was chosen and charged with the mission of redeeming his people. It's the title for the Messiah. John writes this when Andrew went to find his brother Simon Peter. John 1:41, it says, he first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. This baby who was born is the long-awaited Christ, Messiah, the Savior. And the Savior means that he's going to save his people from their sins, which was revealed to Joseph when the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. He said, Joseph, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. God sent his own son to save people from their sins. Because as sinners, we cannot save ourselves. We are inadequate. We are incapable. We are insufficient for such a thing. We all need the Savior. So the shepherds were given the message, and they were also given the sign to validate the message, that they would find the baby in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. So as soon as they could wrap their heads around what was going on in the message, all of a sudden, the night sky opens up in verse 13 and 14, and suddenly there's an angel with a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. The angelic worship that we've been singing of in our hymns takes place. It's supernatural. The message is supernatural. You know, maybe if you're one of the shepherds there, you would tap your other friend. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? It wasn't a dream. It wasn't a hallucination. So the shepherds have wasted no time, verses 15 to 17. The angels went away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph with the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. This wasn't a delusion. It wasn't a dream. They'd all seen this. They'd all heard the news. And they went and they found the sign of verification. Everything was true. God had given them a message and they were meant to spread it. So they took this message that they'd been given and they started to share it with everyone. Mary, Joseph, and whoever else was around. The good news of great joy had been received and delivered. The Savior, the Christ, had been born that day. The next point we want to consider then is the reaction of those who heard this revelation of God. Verse 17, they saw it, and when they saw it, they made known the sayings that had been told them concerning this child. Verse 18, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. The word wonder there means that they marveled at the news, at this event which had transpired. It was amazing. It's definitely miraculous, just as the incarnation of the Son of God is miraculous, completely supernatural. This news was amazing. But Matthew seems to draw a distinction to Mary's reaction in verse 19. Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. It's not really that Mary has an opposite reaction to the people. It's more of that it was a separate or an additional response. See, the angel Gabriel had visited Mary to inform her of how God had chosen her to bear the Son of God conceived by the Holy Spirit. Luke 1 says, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And I'm sure she had spoken to Joseph, who had also been visited by the angel, and they were putting things together and trying to get onto the same page. And both of them were probably amazed at how God started to reveal this news to shepherds, to them. Yeah, God visited us too. An angel came to give us news. And it's happening. And here we see it now happening with others. God is doing something here. And then the shepherds, they went back to their work. And they worshiped God. Verse 20. Shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they'd heard and seen as it had been told to them. And so we see again this reaction to receiving the good news of wonder, of amazement, and of worship. In verses 21 to 24, the story advances. Baby Jesus, 8 days old, Joseph and Mary, they take him to the temple for the circumcision and to pay the offerings which were associated with childbirth, especially the firstborn. And this is then where we have an encounter with the prophet Simeon. Picking up in verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel, which is another term which was used to describe the Messiah. Tyndale commentary states, quote, "The consolation of Israel for which he looked is another name for the coming of the Messiah. This was expected to be preceded by a time of great suffering, the woes of the Messiah, so that he would certainly bring comfort. In days when the nation was oppressed, the faithful looked all the more intensely for the deliverer who would solve their problems." End quote. In Webster's 1913 edition, we have a definition of this comfort or this solace. It means to comfort in grief, the alleviation of grief or anxiety that relieves distress. And this fits with the messianic prophecy from Isaiah. In Isaiah 40, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." A voice cries, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord, Yahweh, has spoken." At this time, the Jews were under the thumb of the Roman government. They were also being taken advantage of by the religious class, being strapped down with an ever-increasing, growing addition of man-made laws, what we might call tradition. And many were looking to the Messiah as a political hero who would deliver them from Babylon or Rome or whoever was in charge. But real comfort, real deliverance from sin and an eternity in hell is what Jesus came into the world to accomplish. Well, back to Simeon. We aren't told that he was a priest, but he was righteous and devout, and God's Holy Spirit rested on this man. Verse 26, "It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." And that was a personal message to him, a promise that God had made to him. And now the time had come, and the Holy Spirit has now directed him to go to the temple to meet Jesus. Verses 27, 28, "He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said," and now we're getting to this message. A message of prophecy fulfilled and a new revelation. So God, the Holy Spirit, directed this man to issue forth his message in verse 29. "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." I don't know how old he was. He'd been on the earth probably a long time. He was longing to go home. The Holy Spirit said, "You're not going to go until you see the Christ." And now he sees him. "For my eyes have seen your salvation." His personal prophecy,
His, the prophecy personalized to him is now fulfilled. My eyes have seen your salvation. I can go in peace now. Verse 31, that you've prepared in the presence of all people. Again, this news, this Savior, this salvation is for all people. All peoples. And then verse 32, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. This message is not just meant for Israel, for the Jews only, but also for the Gentiles. Salvation is for the Gentiles as well as the Jews. All the oracles, the commandments, the prophets had all been given to the Jews. And now the message is to be poured out to everyone. And then Luke gives us the reaction of Joseph and Mary, but we'll come to that. We'll come back to that in a minute. But before that, then there's another part of the message in verses 34 and 35. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also. So that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. See, the good news of great joy is to be proclaimed to all, to the Jews and to the Gentiles. But not everyone is going to receive it. Not everyone is going to believe. Some will oppose the gospel. Some will reject the Savior, the only one who can take away their sins. Some would rise, but so also some would fall. J.C. Ryle puts it this way, quote, Christ was to be a sign spoken against. He was to be a mark for all the fiery darts of the wicked one. He was to be despised and rejected of men. He and his people were to be a city set upon a hill, assailed on every side and hated by all sorts of enemies. And so it proved. Men who agreed in nothing else have agreed in hating Christ. Men who have agreed in nothing else have agreed in hating Christ. From the very first, thousands have been persecutors and unbelievers. Christ was to be the occasion of the fall of many in Israel. He was to be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to many proud and self-righteous Jews who would reject him and perish in their sins. And so it proved. To multitudes among them, Christ crucified was a stumbling block, and his gospel a savor of death. End quote. And that's referencing what Paul describes in 2 Corinthians, that these two reactions. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, but thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing, to one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? See, when the gospel is proclaimed, some smell life. Others smell death. And the prophecy of the gospel purpose being revealed in verse 35 is that so the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Those who rejected Christ crucified him. And surely Mary felt the pain of a sword piercing her heart when Jesus was crucified. She knew the day would come. But still, how unimaginable was her pain to see her son, her Lord, put to death. Accused of blasphemy. Put to death as a criminal. And then as a curse by being hung on a tree. And so this prophecy continues to be fulfilled as men everywhere, even now, today, people hear the good news of Jesus. He is the Son of God. He humbled himself. He left his glory and came and took to himself flesh. Why? To save men from their sins. We had broken the law, but Jesus had kept it perfectly. We had sinned, but Jesus is the sinless Lamb of God who was made to become sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. He's the only one who kept the old covenant perfectly, who was entitled to life. And we, being covenant breakers, deserved the penalty of death. But God loved us so much that in the fullness of time, he sent forth his Son. That's Galatians 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The good news is that Jesus is the Savior. He paid the penalty of our sin. He died in our place and was raised to life on the third day. God accepting his perfect sacrifice to redeem us, to deliver us from our sin. Repent and believe. God calls us all, every one of us, to believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. Will you receive the good news of great joy and be saved? Or will you reject God's mercies? Your thoughts will be revealed. God's word is true. It will not return void. In Isaiah 55 and into 56, God promises, he gives his revelation, his word, and it is sure. Isaiah was a prophet that brought much bad news to a rebellious Israel. But there was also some good news of great joy. Isaiah says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it.
And it goes on. Give us good news. Hope. In a book that if you read it from verse chapter 1 to the end, is bleak. A lot of bad news in there. But there's good news. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord, the foreigner, the Gentile. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. No. Let not the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. No, for thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant. I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than the sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant. These I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings, their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord God who gathers the outcast of Israel declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. Amen. Well, I close by returning to the reaction of Joseph and Mary in verse 33. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. This is marvelous. This is wonderful. It's amazing to hear the good news of great joy, of hearing how God provided his own son to be the propitiation of our sins, to fully satisfy the sin debt that we could have never paid. I pray that you receive that good news of joy, that it will comfort you, that you will be amazed, that you will be in awe and wonderstruck that my God would come and die for me. I hope you haven't lost this sense of wonder as you grow in your knowledge and love for the Lord Jesus Christ. God has promised to save and redeem all who repent and believe in him and are born again into the kingdom of God. That is great news of great joy for everyone today. Let's pray. God, how great you are. How wonderful and merciful. How kind have you been to us. We thank you, Lord, for this great news of great joy. That is for everyone. And I pray, God, that we would not keep this great news of great joy shut up, but that we would be emboldened to share it. Tell others this great news of our great Savior. We thank you, Lord, for giving us Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for the redemption and deliverance that we have in him. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to renew this joy within us, the joy of our salvation, all the more in this season and every day going forward. Again, we give you all praise and glory in your name. Amen.